My name is Thubten Sangha, and I'm the president of the Wisconsin Tibetan Association.
And I guess I want to ask you, first of all, on this 51st anniversary of the uprising, what is the most important thing that people in Wisconsin need to know about the situation in Tibet today?
Tibetans and Tibet in Tibet that is under Chinese occupation is in great danger of being totally annihilated as a people, as a culture, and as a religion. Chinese government is relentlessly trying to destroy the whole Tibetan culture and even the population of Tibetans by transferring a lot of Chinese Han groups into Tibet by giving them incentives and then allowing them to give them a lot of money to move into Tibet so that ultimately the Chinese people can kind of become the majority, in which they are. Two-thirds of Tibet, they're already the majority. And that is the biggest threat. The culture, the Tibetan people are going to be ultimately a minority and gradually non-existent. That is the greatest threat we want the Wisconsin people to understand.
I want to make sure I understand. Han Chinese are already a majority in Tibet?
Yes. Two-thirds of Tibet, proper Tibet that used to be Tibet, is Han Chinese. And that is because of the population transfers that they've been doing for the last 50 years that China took over Tibet.
And what sort of cultural restrictions are in place? In other words, are there restrictions on use of the Tibetan language or Tibetan culture by the government in Beijing?
Everything in Tibet is actually officially Chinese. That's the implementation that the Chinese government has established there. That has not changed. They're continuing to do that. Education is, as far as possible, in Chinese. Tibetan is allowed. Tibetan is spoken by the local people and in their homes. But as an official on the national level, Chinese is the language. And education is also strongly leaning towards Chinese education and Chinese history more than the Tibetan history and the Tibetan language.
What would be the best case outcome, in your view, for the Tibetan people, for Tibet at this point?
The best outcome would be exactly what His Holiness wants. What His Holiness really is looking for is a peaceful resolution of the Tibet issue between the Chinese people and the Tibetan people. His Holiness has expressed no wish to have an independent Tibet from mainland China. Tibet is a part of China, as His Holiness ministered. I mean, as a part of the motherland, we have to accept that that's what it is. But what we are really trying to say is that the Chinese government should come to a decision to come to some kind of a terms with the Tibetan people, which they are not doing. And that is all we're asking, is to resolve the issue of Tibet in the middle, on the middle path approach that His Holiness has created, which does not indicate independence, but which indicates a kind of a human rights situation in Tibet, where Tibetans have a right to do their religion, to actually run their own people, to run the governments, etc. So that is what we really want, and we want the Chinese to come to.
We've seen that the Chinese seem to have difficulties in, I guess, respecting the rights of minorities within China. We saw that last year with the Uyghurs and the situation in Tibet, which has been going on for half a century. Can people in the U.S., people in Wisconsin, do you think, make a difference by expressing their views to China?
Of course. Any view, any expression of support for the Tibetan cause and the minorities that are suffering under Chinese occupation and Chinese repression helps. If every American in America actually pressured their representatives at the state level and at the federal level to pressure the governments, to pressure the Chinese to come to a dialogue and to be more humane in the treatment of minorities in China, I mean in China and Tibet and in any other minority areas, it would help. The Chinese are very arrogant. They don't listen much. We agree with that. But world opinion does matter. And if the world opinion is for a dialogue and a leniency on the Chinese standoff and repression, it will definitely help.
In the statement you read by His Holiness, he calls for greater transparency and greater openness in China. It seems that perhaps there should be more efforts on the part of businesses in the U.S. who are doing business with China. I'm particularly thinking of the situation with Google last year, where a lot of people in this country say Google caved in to the demands of the Chinese government in terms of making access to the Internet more widely available.
Well, I really all I can say to this is that the Chinese government has always been trying to hide everything. It has tried to stop the people's desires for freedom, for some kind of a liberty to be able to do what they want to do in Tibet or anywhere else in that matter. Chinese have always covered these things. They've never been transparent. Everything they've done is a policy. It's a political game they play. They never are transparent. For them, everything that kind of hurts them, they feel political hurts them, they will immediately stop. If anything that helps them, they will support and they will encourage it. But when anything is going to hurt them, they will immediately shut down everything. And that's how they operate. Tibet is a country where Chinese are not allowing foreign media to go there. They're not even allowing anyone to even see what's happening in Tibet. Why can't they allow that? Because they're afraid. They are not going to be transparent because they just simply cannot afford to. Then they'll see the reality. The world will see the reality of what's happening in Tibet, and that the Chinese do not want. Now, big business caving into China's demands, it's business. You know, I'm not going to go and say what the business person should do. Morally, they should support Tibetan cause because it's a just cause. Morally, they should not listen to China. But that is not something I can dictate to them, and I'm not going to. But true enough, all businesses should have a little bit more moral responsibility and go and stand up against China and say, at least while we are doing business, can you help make sure that there is some leniency, some human treatment of people that are minority in Tibet and or in China for that matter, and then try to bring about a little bit more of international attention to the world, I mean, that what's happening in Tibet. That's all we ask. That's what the business should ask. And it's not a big deal for them to ask that.
And my last question, how difficult is it for Tibetans living in America and Tibetan Americans of Tibetan descent to communicate with their families in Tibet and to travel to and from the U.S. to Tibet?
It's important. What we want is a communication, an open dialogue between the Tibetans living in Tibet and the Tibetans living outside of Tibet. We believe this is a good way to work. This is how we can understand what's happening in Tibet and what's happening out from for the Tibetans in Tibet to see what's happening outside. This is an open dialogue we want, but the Chinese does not allow that. The Chinese have always been restricting travel, visits by relatives from outside of Tibet into Tibet because they are afraid. They're just afraid that things will go wrong. Chinese have always had this great fear of people's uprising, and they will always have that fear. And this is because of the very fact that they are not willing to listen to the people. And so we believe that the more relationship that the Tibetans in Tibet and the Tibetans in the free world have a better and closer relationship, we believe that there will be a better understanding of what's happening in Tibet, which the Chinese do not allow.
But is it difficult for you, for example, to communicate with your family members in Tibet?
It's almost impossible. You can, but it's very restricted. I have a relative in Tibet right now. I don't even know where they are. It's because they don't allow those communications. I mean, there are some people, some relatives who are more lucky than others. But my relatives, I've never been able to connect with them at all. My eldest brother, he lives in Tibet. I live here, and I've never even heard from him. It's because of the fact that there is no open communications allowed. And there are cases where people do allow that stuff happening. That does happen, but it really is not a normal practice. Normally, it's all restricted.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you so much.